Welcome to the Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that means we are live, the Edge of Reality, here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And, of course, Thursday means we're one step away from the weekend. So happy weekend, everyone. Hope you had a great week. And, for the next hour, we're just going to talk about nonsense. What a nice change. You don't have to think about anything. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to do anything. You just get to listen to us talk about amazing reality TV shows. That's it. That's it. For free. You can't beat that. We have a big show for you tonight. We got to talk about the challenge. I can talk about the challenge episode this week for like a million years. So we have to discuss it. I have so many things to talk about with that. We'll talk Survivor. We'll talk Amazing Race. We'll talk the Voice cross battle thing, which is new this year. We'll talk about that, all that and more. But before we say anything else, I got to say hello and good evening to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Not a whole lot. Just I do want to talk about The Voice, and I do want to talk about this new battle thing and the feel of it all. So, but you get your little list going and let's get going.
All right, well, you want to talk about Voice, then we'll talk about Voice. That's how we'll roll. That's what we will start off with this evening. Okay, talk to me about cross battles. What do you have to say about it, Priscilla?
Okay, just the overall feel of how they have them on the stage sitting, the way they have them sitting and pulling them, the way they're pulling them to battle, gives me the feel of the good old American Idol, kind of, sort of.
Sure. Yeah,
and
yeah.
That they've now moved this part of it as to live instead of your love recorded portion, because you know once you hit live, you don't like that.
Yeah. Well, so this replaces the have a super famous person coach all four of the teams. You know, have Taylor Swift come in or have, whatchamaface, Tim McGraw or Tim McGraw, Garth Brooks, somebody, some country,
yeah.
And Faith Hill, whoever, come in. it was some country dude, come in. This replaces that. And I have to say, I like this better, just because it's a faster-paced show. I mean, it's two nights, so if you want to see what happens, you have to watch the second night. But I find the second night super interesting. I gave it a shot. I liked it so much because at the end of a live episode, in typical fashion, you're only waiting to see one person get eliminated or two people get eliminated at the most. But in this situation, you're seeing battle after battle after battle come up. So you're seeing, you know, people win. You're seeing people theoretically losing, and then the decision whether somebody is going to save you or you're going to go home. So there's a lot going on within the course of this episode. I love it for the for the reason why I love The Voice in general, which is I can get through. It's 3 hours of The Voice a week. I could get it through in probably like an hour and 20 minutes because I can fast forward through all of like the things that I don't want to see in all of the packages. And we can just get to battles and comments, which is all I listen to. And I'm here for that. It's faster paced and I appreciate that. So I'm in on the cross battle.
Well, they also, the packages aren't, we're not all that in depth either for you.
Correct.
And
correct.
They, And what little they did do, I could have cared less if they did.
Yeah, the packages, but I'm okay with, because the alternative to that is reminding us every step of their journey, and I don't necessarily need that either. I'm okay with like a quick refresher, let's go, move on. Yeah, I'm good with that because I just want to hear people sing songs. Like, that's what this is for me. Like, I just want to hear people sing some songs.
I felt on the results show that they took too long to revisit what we've seen the night before myself.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with, again, I fast forwarded through that part. So it's like, you know, I just kept it moving, but I agree. I felt that you know, and I, my take on it is always, I don't know what the population of person is that is only watching the second night of the show, that is only watching the results. I feel like if you're watching the second night, you watch the first night. If anything, it's the reverse, where you would watch the first night and not the second night. But so we don't need like that kind of extensive recap of what happened the night before. So I have a couple things to go with this. One is, I feel so much worse when people don't get picked with this format. I feel like, you know, previously I never really gave much thought to it. When somebody was got saved or somebody went home, I just kind of like went, well, somebody went home. But now with this, like, have 10 tickets on the clock mechanism, again, I kind of like that because it forces people to kind of like say their last minute goodbyes and do what they need to do. But on the other hand, it's super, I felt like, especially the first week, that like 75% of people were getting saved or, you know, switching teams. And so for the last, like for the couple people that did go home, I definitely felt it more for them. I felt bad for them.
Right. And then they still have the comeback thing. So.
Right. And that leads me to the next point of the show. I feel like for what it is, it's just too many comeback mechanisms. I don't feel it necessary. I don't feel it necessary to have so many people starting this show off and then giving people multiple opportunities to be saved. You don't get to know people well enough on the voice format because of the fact that there's so many people, that people should have a real big like rooting interest and really care hardcore about who's getting saved, who's switching teams, who's, you know, people don't even know who's on whose team, you know, for the most part. If you're a casual voice watcher, you're not going to remember who's on whose team, and you're certainly not going to remember who's on the comeback stage. And, you know, I just feel like it's too many mechanisms for being saved. I like it for the drama factor on the coach's end, but I could 100% live without comeback alley or whatever it's called, comeback stage. I can absolutely live without that mechanism. I don't feel it's needed for the show. And this is, they're doing it twice this year, right? Like they've already done like a comeback thing and now they're doing it again. So it's like two people are being saved by the comeback situation. It's just not for me. I feel it's too complicated of a process for what this show is. The show can be a little bit more straightforward. Cause every year I'm like, go ahead.
No, I'm just on the fence of how I like the structure of it. I'm glad they're trying something different. I don't oppose how I do it. I do like it, but I see some tweaks coming for next year with it.
I hope so. Every year, I'm like, there's 90 people left on this show. How do they get to one? Like, I mean, we have maybe a month left of the show. In reality, I'm sure that it's going to be done by the end of May at the very latest. So maybe like 4 more weeks of episodes. We still have like 9,000 people on this show. I'm always like, but then again, this is why I don't watch the live episodes of it, because I'm like, what are you doing? By the time they get the lives, I don't really care anymore. But yeah, anything else to say about The Voice before we move on?
We can move on. I just wanted to touch on it. We hadn't talked about it for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I wanted to say this. Do the coaches, I don't know the answer to this. Do the coaches know who won and who lost before the show starts? Or are they finding out? Like, for instance, do they know who they're saving beforehand?
I would assume not. It wouldn't be any different than any other live results show. I'd assume not.
Okay. All right. I don't know if it's interesting because you are in a situation, especially if you're a coach, where you only have one steal and one save, and you're kind of guessing, you're kind of looking at matchups and going, okay, I think this person won, and if they did, then this person lost. Okay, so that means I need to, you know, I can steal this person or I, you know, whatever. But that's not always the case. So, which is an interesting dynamic, but I also don't necessarily need that. If the coaches knew ahead of time, they could like plan who they wanted to save and steal, and maybe it would be a more interesting dynamic. I don't know. That was my only other thought on The Voice. Are you watching American Idol at all?
No.
No, neither have I. I've watched 0 seconds of it this season. And I've heard nothing about it. Absolutely nothing. Like, I haven't heard anybody talking about it. I haven't heard anybody tweeting about it. Now, to be perfectly honest, I don't hear anybody talking about The Voice either. You know, when I'm out and about in the world or, you know, watching Twitter or whatever I do. I'm not hearing a ton of people talk about The Voice unless I'm talking to my mother who watches The Voice. You know, I'm not really hearing a ton of buzz on that. So it's not like it's, you know, but American Idol, I've heard absolutely, I don't know one person who's watching it. I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's good or if it's bad. I don't know about any of the contestants. No one standing out. Absolutely nothing.
Me either. I'm not nothing. I mean, I haven't been online much at all here lately, especially since it came on, to even know like what the buzz is online on Twitter or whatever. And so I don't think it should have came back when it came back. We both agreed on that last year.
Sure.
So.
Sure. I agree with that completely. It came back too soon, but it's still there. It's still, you know, it got a second season. It is what it is. And so, you know, it is what it is, but definitely not the powerhouse that it was, you know, in its prime. So, yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about something else because I really want to. Yes, I know I talk about this. I talk about the Survivor. I talk about Survivor a lot and Amazing Race is back and I want to talk about that. But I feel like the most exciting episode of TV for me this week was the challenge. I told you at the top of the show that I could talk about the challenge for the next like 1,000 years. I thought this episode was super interesting, and please tell me you watched it.
I did.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so let's discuss a couple of things having to do with this. First of all, go to last week. The challenge I have loved this season simply because they've had an elimination every week this year, which is unheard of for the challenge, but they've kept it moving, and I've appreciated that. That being said, last week was the first episode where we ended on a cliffhanger, and I was like, come on, challenge. You've been doing so good all season. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And then the beginning of this episode happened, and I was like, oh, this is why they did this. This is why this happened. So let's start with the beginning of the episode. We're seeing Georgia having to choose between Nani and Ninja of who's going into the killing floor. She chooses Nani. That's the choice. Absolutely. That's the way to go. And I have to say, before this episode, I didn't really consider Georgia like a power player in terms of being like a strong physical competitor. But apparently I was wrong. Apparently I wasn't watching closely enough, or it just wasn't conveyed on the show. But I was surprised at how, you know, I was surprised on both her killing floor performance and her performance in the challenge.
Because that wasn't near as important as her relationship with Bear was. That's why we didn't see that.
Exactly, which is sad because we didn't get who she was as a person. And I think the best thing that could have happened to her in this game was Bear leaving.
Right.
Also from the standpoint of, like, I'm interested. We saw a couple episodes ago that Bear was talking to another woman on the show, and he lied to her and said it was his cousin, which is like just a straight up lie. He said in a confessional, like, I lie to women. That's what I do. He's a real sweetheart, that Bear. And my first thought is always like, Georgia must feel like complete embarrassment. But then I was like, you know, maybe she doesn't. Maybe she would take him back. I don't know. I'm interested in that aspect of it a little bit, but I also hate Bears, so it's like I don't really care to, like, know any more than that. But anyway, Georgia chooses Nani, and then TJ tells them that they get to pick an ally who's going to tape them up to a chair. And I love stuff like this. Not the taping up to the chair part, but I love the idea of having to choose an ally who is essentially going to be the person that keeps you in this game. And Georgia choosing Turbo, who is Nani's former partner, my first thought was, that's nuts, because Turbo loves Nani and he's going to go easy on her. But I was completely wrong on that. And, I mean, I don't know, maybe you caught something that I didn't, Priscilla. I thought Nani and Turbo had a great relationship. I thought that they were the tightest. Turbo's relationship with Nani was the strongest in the house. So I don't understand why Turbo was so both, like, competitive, where he tied her up super tightly, and then, like, helped Georgia get out of her tape, and then, like, got so excited and, like, cheered when Nani went home. I thought that was something that we did not see in this edit. So I was wondering if you knew what was going on with that.
No, I mean, I got that as well. I just think that's who Turbo is in general. Everybody that has talked outside of the challenge about Turbo, from what I have seen, has nothing but good to say about him. I think he is, and even Polly and, like, Josh, they're so competitive, and I think they all, like, clicked it off really well. You know, they just hit off right away, and that's where I think that's stemming from, is just how competitive he is. And there might be a little bit of a language barrier, but for the most part, I think he's a really nice guy. I wouldn't necessarily say that I would say there might have been one of the few relationships that were coupled up that worked well together when they was working together. You know, Kyle and Maddie was, and Maddie realized, okay, you know, this is for me kind of thing. She's very boisterous about it. Turbo probably is not explaining that as well, but it's probably along the same avenue. He's there for the money too. And so he's picking his path. So I just think there's a little bit of a language barrier and we didn't get to see all the editing. You know what I mean? We didn't get to see more, but there's probably more to the story, but I just think he's a competitive guy. And I'm sure that they know each other better, Georgia and him. There's probably still a little bit of a UK thing going on there, you know, overseas kind of thing going on. So it didn't surprise me. I thought it surprised me that he was that excited about it, but it didn't surprise me any.
Yeah, I was interested, and it's funny that you mentioned Turbo's language barrier because I think that comes into play later in the episode with his fight with Ninja. But I, the idea that Turbo was so into it, and then Nani was going to choose either Hunter or Wes. And I thought she'd be crazy to choose Hunter because Hunter was her partner. So she chose Wes, which I thought was the good call. And then I thought Georgia was absolutely brilliant and screwing with him. I thought that was great strategy on Georgia's part.
It was.
I mean, it's very rare that you see, like, strong, like, in-game strategy. And the fact that she was moving her arms and her legs all around, I loved that. The singing part I thought was funny. I also thought it was funny that, because when she started doing it, I thought, oh, God, well, Wes isn't going to care if she's singing really loud. It threw Wes completely off. I mean, that cracked me up that had such an impact on him. But what I found most interesting was the fact that she kept squirming around as they were doing the tape, so loosening up the bout. I thought that was awesome strategy. I really respected her game. And then they go and they actually do the competition, and Georgia beats her in like 2 seconds. It was the saddest thing you've ever seen in your life. So she stays, Nani goes. And I was just like, wow, that's unreal. That's unbelievable that whole thing went down. So I loved that. Then let's get to the main challenge, okay? I love challenges like this for the challenge, no pun intended, especially because the final challenge is so physical and so endurance-based. I like the idea that they have some endurance-based challenges throughout the season to almost like prepare people for it a little bit. I always found it weird on Seasons of the Challenge when they would do some things and then the finale had nothing to do with what they've previously done. It tested skills that had nothing to do with their previously tested skills. So I really like that. I like the fact that they could pick their partners. I guess they went in not knowing whose elimination it was going to be. So, and I just assumed it was a male one because we just had a female elimination. But then when TJ said it's a male elimination after the fact, people settled down. So I was so surprised with how crazy how competitive the women got and Ninja's reaction to everything, which we'll talk about in a minute, because I just assumed it was a male elimination. So I thought that whole thing was weird. But I thought that challenge was great. And, oh, my God, Wes's reaction to Davon, that was so good. That was so good. I thought we were going to get Day sitting down on the ground a la Caleb on Big Brother trying to, like, screw up Frankie. Do you remember this?
Yes.
season 16, Caleb just going, I hate, they were teammates and just sitting down and saying, I hate you. And Frankie won the challenge anyway. I 100% thought that's what Day was doing.
I was, with the conversation leading into it that they just showed us, I thought the same thing.
Yeah. So the fact that she was, and then they said, oh, Wes said, oh, she's in the back of the pack. And I thought, well, she's just kind of, you know. So I thought it was very interesting that they ended up in the tribunal. But great challenge. We saw Natalie and Turbo together. Natalie, Ninja, I should stop calling her Natalie. Ninja was super upset with Turbo throughout the course of the challenge. And then after it ended, before they knew if they won or lost, she friggin' lost it. It was probably one of the weirdest things I've ever witnessed on the show. And we've seen a lot of weird things. I don't know if she just, like, broke, if, like, being away from her family was, I don't know what was going on. But she legit lost her mind. She was throwing things, breaking things, screaming at the sky, yelling at Turbo. And it was unreal. I thought that was crazy and very out of place. So this was another situation where I thought editing, kind of previous editing and backstory, really deceived us. Because we saw, like, we know very little about Ninja before this scene happened. So I thought it was weird, Priscilla.
It was like, and I came from nowhere. And basically it was being a poor sport. Because as soon as they won, it, she turned it all off. It was just like, okay, fine, cool. But I see,
yeah.
And the reason that I knew that they were going to be in the top three is because Wes, they edited Wes saying, I know it's going to be all about the weight. And I had already had a feeling the way that they were editing her at ragging on him so much that it was going to be more about weight. And he was making sure he was bringing the weight. And that's why he was taking more weight each time he went than stuff. So I knew that they were going to be top three just from the editing once again.
Yeah. I found it so I found it in general super odd that this was happening. And again, we didn't know enough of Ninja's backstory to really just truly understand. And this again is where the language barrier came into play, because in their joint confessional they were talking, and Turbo kept on saying, like, actor, like, I don't like, you know, you're being an actor. He was saying, I think he was trying to say acting, which is a different thing. So, you know, Ninja is thinking of the noun where she thinks he's calling her an actor and, you know, kind of like faking her emotions. And I think he's saying the verb acting, which is like you're acting like a child. I think I forgot the sentence, but you're acting irrationally, right, or whatever. It's a very different context. That is a very major change. And
right,
I think that's what contributed to this fallout.
No, I think the contribution was she mentally beat him down through the entire competition and degraded him, and then went cray cray at the end literally went off on the guy. And, you know, if he is that big of a competition beast, you've directly attacked not only him, but his ego. And, you know, guys in their egos are pretty protective of this. And I think that it just diminished him and it beat him down. And this could be a cultural thing as well, is he was not going to forgive it at that particular,
yeah,
moment where she wanted it done right now. He needed to ponder it more. And
yeah,
then the thing is how I think he was trying to say, you're being a poor sport like you're like acting like a poor stink. Those were the kind of lines that he was going at when he was trying to get something out, but he just didn't verbalize it in the way that we would take it.
Yeah.
Because she turned it off as soon as they won, were in the top three. So
yeah,
that in itself, then as soon as she turned that, I think that just flipped the switch in him that
yeah.
he doesn't go with that kind of sportsmanship at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So last thing I want to say about this section is Wes and Davon, I just want them to be a team on everything from now on, because Wes is like, I can take or leave. Like, he has his moments and then he's kind of crazy. What I do love about Wes is when things are not going his way. Yes, he had a little bit of an I quit moment. Where he walked away like real fast when he realized that Day was his partner. But he gets a lot, like he's a guy that dishes his out, but as he's gotten older, he's been much better at taking it. So I think it's
right.
very fun when people like, that's what I enjoy about Wes the most in this like older version of Wes. When he was younger, he was not able to take people coming at him in the same way. He's for the most part very good natured. I'm thinking about the episode when Bear was eliminated and with the balls, and he was freaking out when he thought he got 8 balls, but he actually only got 6, and he's like in Wes's face telling him how he's going to go to the killing floor and he's leaving and blah, blah, blah. And Wes just kind of smiled and was just like, ah, what are you going to do? It was very good natured. So, but I enjoy the Wes Day combo. I enjoyed, they were very, cause Day is kind of the same person. She has her moments, but she's also like very funny, great confessionals, great one-liners. They're very good together. So I'm just throwing that out there. Then we have this whole thing. Oh God, Kyle pouring paint on his face is probably the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. I mean,
did you notice, before we get away from Devon, did you notice how they actually showed her in the background puffing on her inhaler?
Yep, I did. I loved that. I loved that. That whole thing. Because when she said it, I have asthma in his face. And then you show a little clip of her puffing on the inhaler. So, but she kept up. I mean, they won, you know, she did what she needed to do. But I just loved that. I thought they were very funny together. And like I said, Kyle pouring the white paint on his face by accident. He didn't pour it on his face. He dropped the thing. First of all, wouldn't they know that there was paint? Wouldn't they wash these things out? Like, and no one seemed to care. He seemed like it was very painful. And that wasn't a thing that happened. The dude had paint on his face for the rest of the episode, and no one seemed to be bothered by it. I just love that. He's such a weirdo. I've never liked him. So I saw that happen and I was like, yes. Kyle, all right. I'm glad that you have paint on your face. Now let's cut to Paulie. Cody's his brother. Paulie saying that Paulie is like the biggest enigma I've ever seen in my life. People love working with him. He seems to get along fine when he's actually face-to-face with people. You know, it seems like people enjoy him. He seems like a relatively nice guy. But, like, then you see some things and you're like, what the hell is going on? Like, you're a nut. And, you know, he has, like, outbursts and things like that. But him wanting to go after winning and his partner saying like how much she loved working with, how wonderful he is, for him to want to go onto the killing floor just to prove something to Kyle is insane to me. And it's so Paulie. And the only thing that I can say is I'm so happy that Cara Maria is telling him no, because it's very Cara Maria to tell him to go do that, to like defend her honor or whatever. And we've had an entire season of this love triangle, and I've hated it. I hate them so much. I hate that this relationship that with between Kyle and Cara Maria, which lasted like 2 months, like some like insanely small amount of time, has turned into this like terrible, terrible thing. And obviously, they're using it to get the publicity, and they're using it to get screen time and all of that kind of good stuff, because I'm sure Kyle could care less about if, you know, who Cara Maria is with or whatnot. And Pauly, in previous episodes, has been so, like, almost kind of like he's doing things just to kind of please Cara. And, like, if Kyle was just by himself and Cara wasn't there, I don't think Pauly would care about Kyle. But then this idea of going into the killing floor to take him out, I hope he does it, and then I hope Kyle takes him out.
Right.
This is, Pauly, to put this in Big Brother terms, this is like having a veto and not using it on yourself.
Or having not playing it at tribal.
Right. But even having an idol not playing it at tribal, even like it's still like, oh, can I save it? Can I use it? This is like I have a veto. I will not go home this week. It's like it's so Marsalis. It's so Big
right.
Brother 3, where it's like, I know, Amy, here's your veto, my friend. Here's your veto. And then you get voted out. That's what Pauly's pulling here. So I don't think he's actually going to go through with it. It's very – and that we left on the cliffhanger of, is Pauly going to go into the killing floor? I think the answer is going to be no. I don't think that he will go against Cara's wishes. But if he does, I want Kyle to win. No, Kyle will not win. First of all, his eyes are covered in paint. He has like his toe, if they saw a shot of his toe, it was like one of the grossest things I've ever seen. It's like black and blue, like he broke his toe at one point of this. He's like an actual disaster.
He's made his own bed. Stop feeling sorry for Kyle. He's made his own bed.
Oh, I never feel sorry for Kyle. Never. I'm just saying, I want Kyle to go home very badly. But the only situation where I don't want him to go home is if Pauly decides that he's going to give up safety to go vote to go and fight him in the killing floor. I then want Pauly to go home. But in any other situation, I want Kyle to go home. Kyle is someone I was very surprised. I'm very surprised. And the only reason I believe that he's back on multiple challenges is because he dated Cara Maria. I'm very surprised that he is back. I don't think he brings a ton of personality into the show.
He has this past with typical douchebag. They like those.
Well, but the typical douchebags usually have some sort of comedic, you know, take Wes, for example, or Bananas, for example. They usually have some sort of like comedic kind of element, even Bear, you know.
He tries comedic.
And I wonder if they're trying to get away a little bit from the typical douchebags because people just don't, I mean, because like, in the typical douchebag arena this season, we only really had Hunter. Like in the like, I have zero personality, I am just like gonna come here and win challenges. Because even Pauly has a little bit of a sense of humor. Hunter would be like the only person. They don't have Corey in the mix, they don't have Nelson in the mix. They don't have some of these like typical, oh, Zach, they had Zach. So Hunter and Zach would be like the two, like, you know, I have zero personality, I'm just here, you know, kind of kind of dudes. I wonder if they're trying to get away from that archetype. I don't know. What did you think of Hunter's threatening to leave? Did you think he was actually going to leave?
Anytime somebody tries quits on any of these reality shows when somebody else had an opportunity to be there, it makes me think a lot less of them. And he's like, I agree with Kara, just take the happy ass home.
Yeah, Kara was like, he's just being dramatic. I don't. She said he's just doing it for attention. I don't know if he was necessarily just doing it for attention. I do think that what went down with Ashley last season, the fact that Ashley stole the money, I think that has messed him up more than he cares to admit, more than like the show cares to admit. I think that really messed him
right.
up. Like just an emotional play.
Sarah hasn't ever. She was on one, I think, after that, right? After Johnny did that to her?
No.
Or has she met? No, she hasn't.
No, she never came back. She never came back. That was it. But I don't know. I've heard things that there was a reason that Sarah didn't come back. Like, not it's not by her choice. Something went on behind the scenes. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I understand to be true. But I it really messed him up because he was this like, you know, his archetype was like, yes, I'm a douchebag, but I believe fair is fair. We talked about this last season. We truly believed that he was going to share the money with Ashley if the roles were reversed. And I do believe that. I still do believe that he would have shared the money.
I do too.
I don't believe anybody else would have, but I believe he would have. But I think that messed him up. I think he's a little off because of it. I don't know if he's ever going to recover from that.
Well, at some point, these guys have to grow up. Just saying. But you can tell that. He goes about things a lot, like you just said earlier. He does things a lot differently, more maturely than what he used to do.
Yeah. 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 I believe he, yeah, I agree. All right. So I loved this episode of The Challenge. I'm really enjoying this season now that they're separated. We haven't had an individual season of The Challenge in a while, and I miss it. I like when people are competing more on an individual level. Teams are interested in certain situations, but I've really enjoyed this.
I know you didn't know Maddie because you didn't watch the show she was on, which was on CMP, by the way.
Yeah.
But she was exactly who she was now then. And do you think that she came in knowing that she wanted to kind of buddy up with Cara Maria to get like to the end with her? And then she was dealt the misfortune of the Kyle incident. And Maddie is a very, even though she's such a hard ass on the court, she is actually a very sensitive person, and family is like her life.
Like Maddie more than I thought I was going to this season. I really saw her in her first episode, and I was like, I don't think so. I like her much more than I anticipated, which is cool. I love how competitive she is. I think she's like female competitors. Like, I hope we see her around a lot. Do I think that she came in strategically wanting to work with Kara? No, because I don't think she would have ever kissed Kyle if she did. Remember that happened? Yeah. Like,
when
there was a minute where that happened?
From her Party Down South series, they had a nickname for her especially when she would drink. And she like literally blacks out. She couldn't tell you anything that happened. literally. I can't even remember the name.
But that's not who she is on this show, which is interesting. Like,
but she's drinking and we're not seeing that part of it. That's where some stuff can come from.
Well, if anything, she seems, in a lot of ways, she seems to be like one of the most mature of the group, which is saying something.
Not drinking, she is, because she's raised herself pretty much.
Right, but I think that this show still has a lot of drinking. I don't want to like diminish what she's done by saying like, oh, she doesn't have access to alcohol, so she has it together. But like, this show has a lot of alcohol, so it's not, you know, now she might be getting drunk and they're not showing it because it's not really a part of the edit. But you know, I think she, it's one of those things, and I've seen it. I noticed it with Jersey Shore people too. You know, Jersey Shore people are crazy and they're crazy and they're crazy. And then they go into another environment on another reality show with another group of people. And that persona is not what they are anymore, because it's like, it's not necessarily what's expected of them. Like, when you're in an environment where it's like, party, you have to party, 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 that's what you're going to do. But this environment is different. So Maddie comes in and she's like, wait a minute, I'm not the craziest person here. I don't have to be like the drunkest person here. I don't have to be this person. And I think it changes who you have to be, what the expectations are. You know, when you're on a show called Party Down South, the expectation is that you're going to party. But that's not what this is necessarily.
Well,
so
no,
it works.
I can tell because I know her from her other series, that she was loaded off her ass when she was hooking up with Kyle. And she hooked up and Party Down South the very first night with one of the guys that she just met in the, and it's because she was like wasted. I mean, like sliding down the steps wasted.
Right.
And,
but that
and they're
was,
not,
that
okay,
was literally the
eyes,
first
yes.
night. But that was like the first night that she was in that house. So a lot has happened since then. That was like in
well,
TV show terms.
With her hooking up with Kyle, I think had more to do with the drinking portion of it. And she's non-apologetic for anything that she does, whether it's right or wrong. And
right.
Because they didn't show any of that going on after the first few weeks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
for the next
Yeah, besides that incident, they really didn't show any of that. And,
right.
You know, this is in TV show watching terms, the one was the premiere, like in July. Like, it hasn't been in July. It's April, January, you know, so we've been watching this for a few months now. So, you know, I think that she's a great, a strong female competitor. I almost think that she doesn't have like the fun of Jenna, but I think she kind of takes that spot that Jenna once held of like this like strong competitive woman who's kind of like, you know, laid back, stays out of the drama, but can be in the drama. You know, that was Jenna, and I think she kind of filled that spot.
She's as ditzy as Jenna. You can tell she's...
No, she's not as ditzy as Jenna. But Jenna is, I always like to say about Jenna that she's like ditzy like a fox, like, you know, like there's stuff going, she's not just dumb, you know, she's ditzy,
right.
But she's not dumb, and there's a big difference, and I love Jenna, and I miss old Jenna, and ever since she broke her ankle, she's just not competing like she once did.
Right.
Which is a shame because she's an absolute beast, and she broke her ankle in one of those Joe's versus Pro seasons, and that's what pisses me off the most. She didn't even break her ankle on a real friggin' challenge. She broke her ankle on like a dumb one of the dumb challenges. That's what bothers me the most.
Shawn Johnson did it.
Say that again.
Landed on Shawn Johnson was the one during that competition.
That's right. Yeah, but that was, oh, God, that's the part that sucks the most. And it was not even like a challenge that means anything. And they, I don't even think they're having them anymore. That seems like that show was kind of fallen to the wayside. So I hate that. And she shattered her ankle pretty good on that one. So she just hasn't been able to recover since. So that's been a bummer. And I think Maddie kind of fills in some of those spots, which is good. Anyway, let's, we have 10 minutes. We should probably talk about Survivor a little bit since that happened this week. I don't know. I feel like I'm less interested talking about it this week. I mean, because I miss Wentworth. I'm not going to lie. I was, you know, she's still on the screen, but she's not playing the game. So it means less to me. However, I loved the scene of Wentworth and the three returning players together. And it feels like David is kind of out of that mix.
Yeah.
It's like the three of them are hanging out and David's kind of out of it. It's interesting because with Wardog going home, my first thought is always like, well, that's karma for screwing over Wentworth, Wardog. You know, you wanted to be a tight three and you screwed over your ally too early and this is what you get. But looking at it unbiasedly, looking at it from the, I love Kelly Wentworth and, you know, I hate you for taking her out perspective and just looking at it from a Survivor perspective, I don't think taking out Wentworth is the reason why he went home this week. I think he did a terrible job with the rest of the players. He was in a position of strength coming into this week where he left Wentworth and kind of saying, I'm willing to vote with you. And I thought that was actually going to put him in a really good spot in the game. I thought he was going to go way further than what he ended up going because he made that decision. So I was very surprised that this whole thing went down. And it was definitely his own doing. His social game really was bad this week. And that's what ultimately let him go. I'm still kind of surprised. Well, Rick won individual immunity. If Rick Devins didn't win, do you think he would be the one who was going home this week? Or would it still be Wardog?
No, I think it would have been Rick.
Okay. I thought so too, and then I wasn't quite sure. I was like, would they take out Wardog anyway? I mean, I'm – when Edge of Extinction first came, I thought, well, this is going to be a rotating door for someone. So Rick Devins has managed to stay in the game for far longer than I thought he would, given that he was voted out once. But I hate, he's playing such a terrible game that I'm like, oh God, like he can't win this game because he's just playing so terribly. I loved the scene where he said that, you know, all the women are just hanging out. They're not even playing. They're just here. And then you see cut to, who was it, Julie and Aurora, like plotting against him.
Warren.
Yeah, I love that. That was great.
Right.
But, you know, he's just playing so terribly. And I'm like, just get out already. Jesus. Next week, he's got to be the person that leaves. I mean, it just has to happen at this point. It just has to happen. I now that I said that, it's not going to happen, but I just really want it to. I really want it to. Did you think Gavin was going to leave randomly this week? Because I totally thought he was.
No.
We saw a lot of Gavin in the episode, and I thought to myself, I don't know who the hell this person is, because I always forget one person every year, and it's Gavin. But then I saw him a lot, and I was like, oh, he must be the one leaving. So the edit kind of fooled me because I thought Gavin was randomly leaving. And my last thought about this is that, you know, I don't know how I feel about Julie before the episode where she got in David Wright's lap. I thought that she was playing a strong game, and then that happened, and I thought, oh, she's showing that she'll, like, turn on a dime. That's not going to end well. But I think she did some really great social things this week. And now I'm kind of like, maybe they will vote for Julie. So now I'm kind of more in the, you know, Julie could win this game camp. Where for the last couple of weeks, I didn't think that it was going to happen. Now I'm more like, Julie could win this. What do you think?
Well, because she's just so back and forth. I don't know. She's so unpredictable. I think she goes. Because you don't know what way she's going to go. I mean, if something hits her just wrong, she gets very emotional and I think at some point they're not going to trust her vote.
Yeah, I kind of had the same instincts. But then I think she handles people very well when she can. Like, she's not like the traditional unpredictable person where she also has bad social game. She has good social game. And then strategically, sometimes she's unpredictable. So I'm like, huh, what's going to be the one, what's going to carry her through? Is it like she's so unpredictable strategically that that's going to get her out? Or she's so good socially that that's going to keep her in? I'm very curious to see how that plays out. I just think that she does a really good job with interacting with other members of the tribe. I think she's the best at that. I don't know if that's saying much because I don't think many people are very good at it this season. I mean, Rick isn't good at it. Ron Clark isn't good at it. You know, Victoria's pretty good at it. And then I just think, like, Lauren, who I really, really, really want to like just because she's, like, the last of this underdog tribe and, you know, Wentworth's ally, and I really want to like her. I just don't know it. At the end of the day, they're going to see her as someone they can vote for because of, like, some of the emotion. She's very, very emotional. And I don't think emotional is a bad thing. I just think that she has that tag. So I don't know if it's going to end up being a good thing for her. But she's
right.
Set herself up nicely where she's like the last person left standing in her old tribe, with the exception of Rick Devens, who's there too. But, you know, that person usually ends up going far because the people from the, you know, the majority alliance start taking each other out. So we'll see what happens. God, I just want her to play her idol well. I can't take another woman going home without playing her idol. I won't be able to handle that. We already saw it twice this season. I just can't. Lauren has to do well with it. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
No pressure, Lauren, but you need to do well with it. Anyway, we got to go. Next week, we got to talk Amazing Race. Rupert went home. Well, we got to talk about that. That was very unexciting. I mean, the race itself was great, but the fact that Rupert and Laura went home was not surprising I just thought, what are you going to do? But we'll talk about it next week. Of course, we'll talk more Survivor. We'll talk anything you want. Follow me on Twitter on that.
Going after your team fun. I thought you'd have something to say about that for sure. But
we'll talk about it. Team Fun is still there. Team Fun is still there. I love Team Fun. They're my team. That's the team that I'm rooting for, Team Fun. I'm on Twitter, Reality Alley. That's Reality Allie. Priscilla's at PSILLA. We will talk to you next week. Have a great weekend. See you next time.
Bye, everyone.